And what a job the kids have done, and I appreciate Kai. What a great job on the sermon tonight. And we do want to ban glitter in the building. I would like to just announce that tonight, that if you're at HCA or you're Vacation Bible School or Master Clubs or Sunday School or weddings or what else can I cover? If you bring glitter into the building, we will. No, I'm just kidding. It's amazing how that stuff just gets everywhere. It's bad. Brother Day, isn't it, Brother Bubba? Just everywhere. It's like, what did you do? Did you break it down the hallway and did you glitter yourself up? And I'd also like to talk about, no, I won't do that one. It has to do with male, but anyway. Deuteronomy, not male as in male and female. All right, some of y'all get that one. Deuteronomy chapter 8. I have about 15 minutes, and so I'll try to just stay away from the notes, that way I don't get long-winded. Tonight we just want to preach about God's provision for the nation of Israel. And really this goes along with a sermon I preached a couple of times over the years called God's Purpose for the Wilderness Wanderings. So we'll cover the subject of this, and it's amazing how God provided for his people. And can I remind you that God will provide for us? God will provide for you. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 1 says, "All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live." You've heard that one before in the New Testament, right? When Jesus was tempted of Satan, he used that verse. Verse 4, "Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee." You imagine that? 40 years they were wearing the same clothes. 40 years later, wearing the same clothes. Of course, a lot of those had, you know, passed off and they were younger people, but 40 years. "Neither did thy foot swell." You know how you walk a lot, especially as you get... I call it my old man leg. My left leg is now my old man leg. Y'all don't want to hear about that problem, do you? I had that surgery a couple years ago, and they knocked a big chunk out of my leg. And so it has a tendency to, you know, to swell. Whatever. It's fine. Anyway, their feet didn't swell. I don't know how I got off on that. Makes my shoe tight. It's uncomfortable. You imagine walking in the wilderness 40 years and your sandals are tight, you know, because your feet are swelling. They didn't have any, their feet didn't swell. It's a miracle. These 40 years. Verse 5, "Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord God chasteneth thee. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandment of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways and to fear him." And again, he goes on down through there and how God blessed them. He's going to provide for them wheat and barley and vines and figs in the land of Canaan. Look at verse 11. It says, "Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in him not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes which I commanded this day, lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herd and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage." Look at verse 15. "Who led thee through the great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents." Remember that story? And "scorpions and drought, where there was no water. Who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee and that he might prove thee." I like this one. "To do thee good at thy latter end." All this was for your good. All this was for your good. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, bless this few minutes we have, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Here in Deuteronomy, we have, again, Moses. Moses, they're about to cross over the River Jordan. And you know the story. If you do know the story, Moses, because of his disobedience to God, was not allowed. It was not going to be allowed to cross over. But now he's 120 years old. They're right there on the precipice of going over the River Jordan and into the Promised Land. Jericho is just a few weeks away, in which they're going to have that great and wonderful victory. And Joshua is going to lead them over into the Promised Land and onto victory. And Moses, for about 30 days or so, preaches to the nation of Israel. So the book of Deuteronomy is sermons by Moses to the nation of Israel, to this 1 to 3 million people. Remember now, there rose another generation. All that former generation had died off and had died in the wilderness, except for Joshua and Caleb, right? They're the only ones. They're the oldest people there. And yet you have this new crowd, this new group of people. A lot of them had not seen the plagues in Egypt. A lot of them had not seen some of the miracles, maybe the crossing of the Red Sea or some of the other great miracles. And so Moses takes some time right before the children of Israel cross over into the Promised Land and preaches to them. And his main theme is remember, 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 remember. Remember what God has done for you. Remember how God provided for you. Remember what God did for you when your enemies came, and whether it was the Amalekites or whomever, and how God wrought great victories among you. So he's just saying that. Look at verse 2. He says, "And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee." Remember. By the way, remembering brings gratitude. We need to remember. We need to remember. That little song, "Count your blessings, name them one by one," right? "Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done." And we need to remember to count our blessings. So many times we dwell on the negative. We dwell on the negative. And God has been so good to us. And the few negative things that happen in our life, the few times in which we face difficulty, do not near compare to the blessings that God has given to us. And that goes for Israel too. Yes, they faced serpents. Yes, they faced drought. Yes, they faced enemies, the Amalekites and many others, and yet God continued to provide for them and give them provision and protect them and fight for them. And Moses wanted them to remember. He reminds them that God led them. He says, the leading of God. He said, thy God led thee. And just like God, a shepherd leading his flock, so Moses led the flock of God there in the wilderness. And God provided for his flock. He led them. We talk about the wilderness wanderings, but they really didn't wander in the wilderness. God led them in the wilderness. A cloud by day and a fire by night. Imagine that. Looking up and seeing a cloud, and when you're walking, you're following the cloud. And at night, there's a fire there, unmistakable. There's a fire there, and God is leading by way of that fire. And God provided and guided for them. I want you to know that God will provide for you, and He will guide you. He'll guide you in life's journey. I'm thankful that I'm saved, but I'm also thankful that He provided for me a wife and children and has guided me into serving Him and a job and so forth. And I'm thankful that God guides in the right way. And we ought to follow Him. We ought to follow Him as the children of Israel followed Him. So He guided them in the wilderness. And there in the wilderness, God provided so many things for them. And I've listed some of them. I think about the plagues that God, the great plagues of Egypt, and how God wrought those upon the Egyptians and upon also Israelites were affected as well, right? In fact, God told Pharaoh, or God said to Moses, that God raised Pharaoh up to show the world His power, to be a testimony throughout all the earth. And it's amazing, 40 years later, when they go in the Promised Land and they meet Rahab, remember that? And you can go read about it. When they meet Rahab 40 years later, she talks about the plagues of Egypt and that the city of Jericho was afraid of the God of the Israelites because of the plagues that came upon Egypt 40 years later. That's the witness of God. God doing great miracles. The Red Sea crossing, turning the bitter waters of Marah sweet. Mount Sinai and the earthquake and God speaking to them there. The clothes did not wear out. This boggles my mind. Wearing the same clothes for 40 years. Teenagers couldn't do that, could you? Can't even wear the same shoes for 2 weeks. Wear the same clothes for 40 years. God provided such a great miracles. And again, we kind of laughed about the feet swelling, but that is a miracle. God giving them good health as they wandered throughout the wilderness. And we think about that rock. They came and they were thirsty and they began to murmur and complain. Moses, you brought us out here and we're going to die and there's no water here. And God spoke to Moses and Moses spoke to the rock. One time he hit it, one time he spoke to it. Actually, he wasn't supposed to hit it the second time. And water came out of the rock. Psalm 78 tells us that the waters gushed out and the rivers overflowed. Don't ever think that that rock was a water fountain. You didn't walk up and go, oh, there's a little bit for me and the next person and the next person. No, it was a river that came out of the rock. It had to provide water for 1 to 3 million people and their livestock, their camels, their goats, their sheep, and so forth and so on. God provided for them water out of the rock. And just as a side note, 1 Corinthians 10 tells us that that rock was Jesus. That rock was a picture of Jesus Christ. And remember as well, remember that they didn't just get water out of the rock, but the Bible tells us they got oil out of the rock. I can imagine that, oil coming out of the rock. The Bible talks about the honey coming out of that rock. That rock was tremendous. Anyway, God provided food for them, manna in the morning, every morning except the Sabbath day on Saturday. Every morning they got up and there was bread on the ground. Every morning, the Bible says they did eat angels' food. He gave them flesh to eat, Psalm 78 says. So in the evenings, quail would come into the camp and they would just go around and pick up the quail, pop their little heads off, put their little thumbs in there, cracking, and they have quail meat. That awesome? Food to eat, quail, little birds. And God gave them bread. And when Brother Stewart was here a couple years ago, he talked about that manna. That manna was unusual in that it could be dried out, it could be baked, it could be done in many different ways in which they prepared manna. So, the Bible speaks about the taste of it was kind of a honeyish taste. The Bible compares it to angels' food. Amazing. God provided them manna 6 days a week. And on Fridays, they would gather double. So they'd have it on Sunday. He provided for them meat. He provided for them water. He provided for them honey. He provided for them oil. He provided everything. Clothes that did not wear out. They provided everything. Everything they needed. Every physical thing the children of Israel needed. God provided for them, listen to this, 40 years. They didn't go hunting for deer, right? They didn't shoot buffalo. There's no buffalo there. I just thought I'd make that up. In other words, they didn't go out and provide for themselves. You get the point? God provided for them for 40 years. What a wonderful miracle. And Moses is just saying, remember how God provided for you. Remember how God provided provision for you. And can I remind you, Philippians says that God will provide every need you have. And sometimes when we're in the crisis, sometimes we're in the difficulty, we need to look back and see how God has provided for us in the past. And Moses is just saying, hey, remember how God took care of you. Remember how God provided for you. And remember and be thankful. Be thankful. The wilderness wanderings, and I'm not going to preach on this tonight, but the wilderness wanderings, it says, were there to humble them and to prove them. Verse 2 says, to humble them and to prove them. And many times the tests that God sends us through, many times the difficulties, the storms of life that we have, are there to humble us and to test us, to prove us, to prove our hearts and so forth as to where we're at when it comes to this Christian life. And I love what verse 16 says, to do thee good at thy latter end. And it also goes up and says in verse 5, thou shalt also consider thine heart, that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord hath chastened thee. You love your kids and you chasten them. And God loves us, and many times He chastens us. And on the latter end, we're better off for it. I've seen a lot of, you know, news about kids and all the, just the violence going on today. And most of it is, a lot of it is kids and young people. And you say, well, what's wrong? Well, it's what I said this morning. You take God out of things and the devil replaces it. Evil replaces it. But it also has to do with parents not raising their kids and training their kids. They're just letting their kids live, but not training them. God says, as He chasteneth His children, so the Lord chastens us. Listen, because He loves us. So He proved the children of Israel in the wilderness. He proved them. He humbled them. But Moses is simply saying, remember. Remember what God did for you. Remember how God provided for you. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 31. Again, this is Moses preaching. They're about to cross over into the promised land. He knows he's not going. And he says this in Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 1. And Moses went and spake these words unto all Israel. And he said unto them, I am 120 years old this day. I can no more go out and come in. Also the Lord hath said unto me, thou shalt not go over this Jordan. He's not going to cross over into the promised land. Verse 3, the Lord thy God, He will go over before thee, and He will destroy these nations from before thee, and thou shalt possess them. And Joshua, he shall go over before thee, as the Lord hath said. And the Lord shall do unto them as He did to Sihon and Og, kings of the Amorites. There were some big guys too. You go read about them. And unto the land of and unto the land of them whom He destroyed, and the Lord shall give them up before your face, that ye may do unto them according to unto all the commandments which I commanded you. Verse 6 now, be strong and of good courage. That's good advice. Fear not. God's not the author of fear. Nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God. Is He your God tonight? Right? I mean, I think on a Sunday night, I would say most, if not all, are Christians here tonight, know Jesus as their Savior. For the Lord thy God, He it is that doth go with thee. Listen to this one. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Amen. This is repeated over in Hebrews chapter 13. And so it's connected to the New Testament as well, this particular verse. He will not leave thee, nor will He forsake thee. And I'm telling you tonight that God will provide for you. And just as Moses is assuring the children of Israel of God's presence, and just as Moses here is reminding them of God's provision in the past, and then encouraging them and telling them that God promises to provide for them in the future, so will God provide for you. So will God provide for me. Verse 7 says, and Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord has sworn unto their fathers to give them, to give them. I just want to, just as a side note, that they didn't earn the land. God gave it to them. God gave it to them. I don't earn God's favor. I don't earn God's love. I don't earn God's salvation. God gives it to me. And eventually my home in heaven will be given to me. But the land is a picture of the abundant Christian life. The land of Canaan is a picture of the abundant Christian life. Jesus said, I came to give life and to give it more abundantly. And the wilderness wandering is a picture of living by sight and not by faith. When they cross over Jordan, it's a picture of the greater Christian life, the abundant Christian life, the Spirit-filled life. Right? That's what it's a picture of. And God is simply saying, when you cross over, that I will fight for you. I will give it to you. The abundant, the Spirit-filled life, many ways in which to describe it, is not earned. It is given. It is given. Salvation's not earned. It's given. The Spirit-filled life is not earned. It's given. And so many times we think we can work our way into being spiritual. No, God makes us spiritual. He gives it to us. Now, we can put ourselves in a position where God can make us spiritual, but it's not something we earn. I don't read my Bible, pray every day, give, go to church, and witness to necessarily make myself spiritual. Now, it puts me in a position where God can make me spiritual. But just because I memorize Scripture and pray does not make me spiritual. The Pharisees did that. The Sadducees did that. It simply puts me in a position where God can bless me. God can give me the abundant life. God can give me the Spirit-filled life. Right? We've preached that over and over again. So he says, must go with thee into the land which the Lord had sworn unto thy father to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, verse 8, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither will forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. God goes before us. God leads us if we'll simply follow him. Remember, when you get discouraged, when life seems to continue to throw darts at you and there seems like the storm never ends like it did this last week, remember what God has done for you in the past. Count your blessings. Sometimes it's good just to sit down and make a list sometimes. I mean, the devil can be so deceiving, and the devil can discourage you. And man, it's one of his greatest weapons is discouragement. And the greatest weapon we have against that is to remember what God has done to you, the provision he's given to you in the past, the power he's displayed in the past, and then the promise of provision in the future and power in the future. God said, I will go before them. I will fight for them. I will give them the land. And I'm going to give them wheat and olives and dates and vines and grapes. And it's amazing. God said, I'm going to provide for them in the future. And God's promised that same thing. Hebrews chapter 13 applies that verse to us today. God's provided for you. Well, we serve a great God, don't we? Amen. Amen. Let's all stand. Hymn 351. Wherever he leads, I'll go. I'm thankful that God saved me. God provides for me and for my family. What a blessing it is to be a Christian tonight. Amen. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this wonderful sermon by Moses and the reminder that you have provided for your children and that you'll provide for us. We're thankful for the reminder, the power that was displayed to the children of Israel and that same power that will be there for us. God, we thank you that you have given us the abundant life there for us. And we pray, God, that we would live our lives pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Hymn 351, wherever it leads, I'll go. Take